We are on the Mishnah on Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph. Halakech lilo mechaveroi b'shvias. Our girsa of the Mishnah is that one who takes, we're talking about purchasing, so one who's purchasing a lulav from his friend during Shvias. So, background. What are we talking about? See, here you have the Shemitah year. Why is that an issue at all? Nice and like Esrog b'matana. Mishnah says that the Mishnah is written a little backwards. You have to figure this out. It could be that that's what the Mishnah is hinting to, of course. But just a straightforward read for now, is that one who takes a lulav from his friend during Shvias, noisein loy esrog b'matana, he gives him an esrog as a present. Sweet. Who's giving the lulav and who's giving the esrog?
You're buying the lulav? No.
That's a straightforward reading. It sounds like the subject is the person that's receiving the lulav, right? So you go to Shlomi. Hey, the Shlomi, I'd like to buy, you know, a lulav. Esrog hadasim aravis, you know, a whole hoshana. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give him an esrog as a present. Who, me? I'm supposed to give the guy selling it an esrog as a present?
Yeah, the person who's buying has to give
them
an esrog.
The purchaser?
Yeah.
So he doesn't pay with money, he pays with an esrog?
He trades.
Does he trade? So, you know, that's how I would have... That's what I would have read the Mishnah.
He buys it and then he gives him as a present.
Who's him? You're Yehuda, and you're buying from Shlomi.
Yeah, so I buy from Shlomi.
Yehuda goes to Shlomi and says, I'd like to buy a lulav. You take a lulav.
I'll buy it from him. And
with money? Yehuda pays money to Shlomi. Or Bitcoin. It's a Shaila, Lakicha, okay.
And then I give him on top of that, and the Talod.
Wow, okay, so Yehuda wants to give a present to Shlomi, who's selling Lulavim, Esrogim, Hadasim, Arovis, and he's selling all these things. But you want to give him another one. Very nice? It's a nice gift. He doesn't need it. He's got a bunch of Esrogim. He's selling them. No? Maybe not. Maybe he just grows Lulavim or something, and so you're going to buy a Lulav from him. So instead of paying him this year, you're going to give him an Esrog in exchange as a present. That's a simple read of the Mishnah. I don't think that's correct. But, okay, so we'll see. Lefi, because Shein Rashai Lekha B'Shvias, because you're not allowed to purchase it during Shvias. So, the other way to read the Mishnah, of course, is that when you buy your lulav from Shlomi, Shlomi gives you the Esrog B'Matana. I mean, this year he's not allowed to sell Esrogim. Yeah? It's just that the subject of the sentence seems to be reversed according to that. No, saying lo. It's Shlomi, but the person until then that was the subject was a person, it was Yehuda, purchaser. Okay, so what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Lekech lulav mechavero. Li nira, the lekech lulav me'am ha'aretz garsina. And chavero is the wrong word. It should not say a person who's purchasing a lulav from his friend. It should say from an ama aretz. You know who the ama aretz were? It means the masses who are not so knowledgeable about Torah and mitzvahs and not so caring about Torah and mitzvahs. So certain things that they felt had a lot of consequences to them. So they kept those things. The things that they felt were not so consequential, they did not keep those things. So here is a person. Okay, so let's see. So Rashi says, the ha b'am ha'aretz k'marik d'mugmarik, as we'll see, we're talking about a situation of an am ha'aretz, that the seller, this shlomi, is an am ha'aretz. B'am ha'aretz k'avi chaver l'kari chaveroi. An am ha'aretz vis-a-vis a chaver, or these are terms that you should know. Chaver means a Talmud Chacham, a person that's aware of Torah and Mitzvahs and follows Torah and Mitzvahs. And Am Haaretz is the opposite in the Yekesha world. So they actually have this as a title. You know about this? You know, when someone gets Smicha, becomes a Rav, you know, a Rabbi. In the Yekesha world, if a person basically kept Shabbos and his wife, I think, covered her hair. I don't remember. I think that was a requirement. So then they gave him an official title of Chaver. So if you ever hear a Yekesh call to the Torah, you hear him called up as a Chaver. Because she did. I think that was one of the requirements that your wife has to cover your hair to be considered a chaver. I think so. But you have to double check. I don't remember. I lived in Washington Heights for many years. I encountered a lot of yekes. But in any case, they had a title called a chaver. He wasn't a rov. He was smicha. He was an upstanding Jewish citizen in the community. He was a chaver. any case, so the Mishnayos Chazal, they refer to a person who is a Talmud Chacham as a Chaver. So Chaver doesn't, you can't call an Am Aretz his Chaver. So a Chaver that's purchasing something is purchasing from an Am Aretz, not from Chavero. So an Am Aretz can't be referred to, says Rashi, as Chavero. At least vis-a-vis a Chaver. So if the person knows what he's doing, he knows he's not allowed to buy things during Shvi'as. And the Am Aretz, we're not so makbid on at least the money that has Kiddushas Shvi'as, as we'll discuss. So then you can't say that he's buying it from Chavero, you have to say he's buying it from Am Aretz. Therefore Rashi changes the gears in the Mishnah to Halekeach Lulav Me Am Aretz. V'ilekech Nami Am Aretz Mitzayis L'mhach Z'chaver V'chashvet Fine. Noisen L'Ezer B'matana. Has Rashi learned Noisen L'Ezer B'matana? Chaver Shekoineh Hoishana Kula Me Am Aretz. So the Chaver, Yehuda, who is buying the Hoshana Kula, what does Rashi mean Hoshana Kula? So it's interesting, we usually think of Hoshanas as Aravas. But clearly Rashi understands Hoshana to refer to the set, the bouquet. The bouquet of Lulav, Esrig, Hadas, Aravas is called Hoshana. So he's buying the entire set from an Amma or it's Beshvias. Yevakesh mimenu, he should request from him, Litain Loi, to give him an Esrig b'matana. So Rashi did not learn the way that we learned. There's a little bit of a discrepancy in the Mishnah. Maybe we could put our finger on why a little bit. But the Mishnah, according to Rashi, is saying that when you go to buy your Hoshana from the Am Aretz, request from the Am Aretz that he give you the Esrig for free. That's what you're supposed to do. Why? If you're in Rashi, as the Gemara will explain, because not allowed, there's something you're not allowed to do, something problematic about this, as we will see. Yeah? Okay. Gemara. What happens if the Am Aretz does not want to give you the Esrog B'matana? He likes money. Mahu, what's the din? What should you do? Amr of Huna, Mavliya Lei, Dimei Esrog B'lulav. You know what Mavliya means? You know what the Shorsh is? Yeah, ever see like Beauty and the Beast? You know Bella? No? Good. Anyway, so Bola is to swallow up. Swallow up. We were talking on Sunday about kashrus. A flavor that's absorbed in the walls of the pot is called a noun, a blia. Same shorish. Beis laman ayin. A blia. Vloa is to swallow. A blia is an absorption. So, mavlia le dmei esrog. Absorb, swallow up the cost, the value, the money of the esrog. Belulav. In the lulav. Yeah, in other words, you pay an exorbitant amount for this lulav so that he will throw in an esrog for free. Now, that's a little bit of a trick, right? But you're not saying, well, listen, how much is esrog worth? I'll pay you that much extra for the lulav. You're not doing that. You're just saying, listen, I'll pay you more. I'll pay you extra for it. Now, he may decide that the value of the esrog is how much you're going to have to pay. I don't know. But it's considered that you're paying more for the lulav. And that is not actually, technically, you're not actually buying the esrog. That's the suggestion if the Am Aretz refuses to give you the esrog for free. So, what's going on here? Does anybody know? What's this business? You can sell a lulav, you can't sell an esrog? On Shvi'as? What's it after Shvi'as? On Shvi'as, you're allowed to eat fruit, right? Okay, you eat it after. I mean, you're not allowed to.
Eat the lulav?
No, the esrog's the problem, it seems like. Seems like you're allowed to buy the lulav, no problem, that's normal. You can even add on the value of the esrog in the purchase of the lulav. So buying the lulav is not a problem. The problem, apparently, is the esrog. You're not allowed to buy an esrog on Shvi'as. What does that mean?
You're not allowed to buy stuff that are from Shvi'as.
Really? You can't buy anything during Shvi'as? So we don't know anything about this because we're a bunch of dumb Americans.
You can't buy things that were grown on
you. Nothing. You're not allowed to buy anything.
No.
No. Alright, well, we'll start with Rashi and we'll go from there. We'll have to wait. Alright, next line we're on, then we'll go to Rashi. Why? Why do you have to swallow up the cost of the esrog and the lulav? The fee, You see where we are? Three lines under the Gemara. So the Gemara asks a question. Sorry. Let's start from the beginning. He doesn't want to give it to you as a gift. What's the din? Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Mavliya lay the meyesir belulav. You have to absorb the cost of the esrog in the lulav. Okay? Frek the Gemara kasha. The Gemara asks, V'leisiv lay behadei. Or behedya. Why don't you give it to him, behedya, I'll give it to him. Just pay for the esrog. Why are we bothering with all this? So the Gemara seems to be asking our question. It's a little strange. The Gemara doesn't know the ABCs of Shrias. Okay, but we'll see Rashi. That why don't you just give him the money outright? Pay for it. What's going on over here? Apparently, the Gemara understands that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing usser about buying fruit on Shavuos. Nothing wrong buying fruit. Otherwise, what's going on in the Gemara? The Gemara says, what's going on over here? Pay him money. Gemara answers, Lefi, because she'ein moisrin, we do not give over to may peiros shavias, the money of peiros shavias, la'am ha'aretz, during shavias, or even after shavias. We don't give over money, that's shavias money, to an am ha'aretz. The sound as we learn in Ebraisa, ein moisrin to may peiros shavias la'am ha'aretz. You're not allowed to give over Peiros Shavuos money to an Am Haaretz Yoiser Mimazon Shalish Seudos more than how much than the amount of money that it would require the Am Haaretz to pay for three meals. Three meals is okay. Vimasar, and if you already gave him more Shavuos money than three meals worth, Yoimar, he should say, this is the Talmud Chacham, the Chaver, should say, Harimos halalu, these monies that I'm giving over to the Amaret, you mechulalin al peiros shlibesubesi should be mechulal. How do you translate mechulal? What's a halal? A dead body. Is it really? It means a dead body. Kimatzi halal. If you find a halal, Torah says that that's a dead body is called a halal. You know what it means a halal? Halal literally means hollow. Right? Chalulim, chalulim. Yeah? Asher yatzar, nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. Nikavim are holes and chalulim are? Empty spaces. It's talking about most people's heads. No, it's talking about that we have organs in our bodies that have space in them. So nikavim are holes and chalulim are hollows, meaning organs of our body that have space in the stomach, the heart, the brain. Anyway, so they should be michlalin, they should be hallowed, not hallowed. Hallowed is the opposite of hallowed in Yiddishkeit. What do you mean? There's a kedusha to the money. We're going to discuss all of this and spell this out in a minute. But there's a kedusha to the money, and you have to be mechalel the kedusha. You have to hallow the hallowed money. How do you do that? By taking the kedusha and transferring it. How do you transfer the kedusha from one thing to another? How do you hollow out the kedusha? By switching it on peiros sheyesh li that I have, on fruit that I have, pesachbesi in my house. Okay, are you ready? ABC step by step, let's go through this. During Shavuos, all of the land is technically supposed to be hefker. And the aniyim are supposed to be able to come into your field and just eat whatever they want, right? Are you allowed to do business with the fruits of Shavuos? So the answer is no. Torah says, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ain moistrin to may peiros." So we're right in the middle of Rashi is the Gemara. So the third Rashi, "Ain moistrin to may peiros." You're not allowed to give over Shavuos money. What does that mean? The Hatara Amar, because the Torah says, ready? La'achla v'loy l'schara. That all of the peiros, anything, any produce, you're a farmer. You have produce that's going to grow during Shavuos, whether you're cultivating it or not. You're not supposed to cultivate things on Shavuos. You're supposed to leave it alone. Unless it's going to just die, then you're allowed to keep it going. But you're not allowed to plant things new. You're not allowed to do things to improve your produce. You have to just let it grow and do whatever you need to keep it going, but not to, so that it doesn't die. So all the fruit that grows, you're allowed to eat, no question about that. But Chazal learn out from that, they're only allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to do business with your fruit that grows during the Shemitah year, Shavuos. Shekol Be'er Shavias Chayaven Lihisubo Er B'Shavias. Here's what we may not be aware of. All of the fruits that grow during Shavias, and that's going to get a little tricky, how to define that. What I mean to say is, how is something defined as Peir Shavias? Does it go by when you harvest it? Does it go by when it starts to grow? Is it defined by when it ripens? Like, what if something already started to grow before the Shemitah year and then continued to grow and you harvested it during Shemitah? Or what if it was growing during Shemitah and you harvested it after Shemitah? So how do you define Peiros Shavias? So we'll get to that. But whatever is considered to be Peiros Shavias, you have to be Meva'er it. Now usually Bi'ur means to burn, like Bi'ur Chametz. And there were some that held that you have to destroy it. But Halach Lamaisa, you have to be Mafkir, you have to make Hefker, all of the Peiros Shavias, by the time that there are no more of those types of things available in the field. So what does this mean practically? So let's say there are dates growing on all of the trees in your land in Eretz Yisrael. You're the farmer. And all your dates are growing. So you're allowed to eat them, and we'll discuss how much you're allowed to sell, what you're allowed to do, exactly how that works. But people are allowed to eat them, that's for sure. And apparently you can even sell them a little bit for yourself to buy food and whatnot. But the point is that when all of those dates have fallen off the tree in your area in Eretz Yisrael, and you look around, and animals are not eating dates anymore because there are just no more dates on the trees. There's a certain time of year when they've all fallen off, even on their own. At that point, whatever dates you have left, you have to be mafkir them, and whoever wants is allowed to come and take. That's called biur. And there's a time of year that happens. That's called a sha'asa biur. I remember I was sitting in Dumbrove, on the other side of Washington Heights, and somebody brought down a bottle of wine and said, I didn't realize, or whatever, that this was wine from a Shemitah year. I am hereby being mafkir it. Anybody want some wine? L'chaim. And he was mafkir the wine because it was Shemitah wine. I don't know if it was the right time, but he was mafkir when he discovered that it was Shemitah wine.
What?
There's ways of perhaps getting out of the whole issue, but we're not going to deal with that at all. We're just going to talk about the rules. So whatever is under the rubric of Peiros Shavias, that's what has to happen. By the time there are no more of these types of things available in the fields in your area, you have to be mafkir, whatever you have left. And that's called Sha'asa Biur, the time of Biur. Biur, for our purposes, means to make it Hefker.
How does he become mafkir? How does he mafkir the wine? He bought wine that was basically sold during...
He bought wine that was produced from grapes that were from Shemitah. Now, maybe it takes a few years for that to become wine, you know, ferment and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, it's from Shavuos, has to be treated properly, and eventually it is going to be a time of biur.
And so all you do during Mafkir, you just basically say that you Mafkir it, and then...
Yeah, I mean, the wine is a little tricky, because, like, what do you mean, the grapes are already long gone. Like, I don't know exactly how that's technically supposed to work.
You could do that for, like, actual produce from Shemitah?
Yeah, let's use the date example, straightforward example. So you have, you're a farmer, you got a ton of dates. You sell them every year in the marketplace. This year it's Shemitah, you're not allowed. So, but you're allowed to collect it for your family and whatnot. So you have a ton of dates in your house. People may come and they may pick them on their own, and you have to let them. But you still have dates. So when the time of the biur arrives, so you have to take them all out of your house and take them into the street or something, I don't know, and say, okay, they're after. And you maybe got to get two or three people together and tell them in front of them, they're all after, everyone else can come and take. Now, if nobody comes and takes, then you can kona them, you can acquire them, and done.
But I'm just confused, because in this case, this was someone who bought something that was from a Shemitah. So, like, if I bought a date,
yep,
from you on the Shemitah year, like...
Shasa beer, you'd have to be mafkir it if you purchased it.
Because now... because technically, even though I bought it, it's still considered for
Shvi's produce. And is it Shasa beer? Is it Haima beer? Doesn't make a difference how you end up with it. But you have to mafkir it during the time that beer, or the shot, the time that beer arrives.
So could someone also buy something, like, buy a date and then mafkir it, and then you could have it? And then, like, I don't know.
Yeah, once it's hafker, anybody can take it. Even the person that was mafkir can take it back afterwards.
You can do mafkir and then take it?
Yeah, if nobody else takes it, you can take it, sure. It's hafker.
Oh, no, but someone else can take it.
Someone else can take it too?
No, but I'm saying, like, if you said mafkir, like, if you said it was mafkir in front of, like, several people, and then you just take it back without, like, anyone else, like, take it. Like,
they have to have the opportunity also, you know, but if they don't want it, you can take it. Okay. Anyway, so that's that. So chayiv and lisboy b'shvias hein v'dumeyan them and their money. Now, what does that mean? Their money. So here's the thing: the Gemara spoke about this concept of hollowing out the kedusha. Everyone should please put their phones away so we can learn. We talked about hollowing out the kedusha. So what that means to say is that when you buy fruit from someone, there is an exchange. He gets money, you get fruit. When that happens, then the kedusha from the peros just transfers to the money, and now the money has to be treated with kedusha shvias, and not the peros. You have hollowed them out. So when this happens, and when it doesn't happen, and how you have to treat the peros shvias, and how you don't have to treat the peros shvias, that will have to leave for some serious halacha sessions. But at least we know there are certain situations when it's possible to remove the kedusha, and there are situations when if you do sell it, then their fruits will remain be kedusha sam, and you will have a problem of the money being kadosh also. So we see from the Gemara that if the chaver is going to buy something from an ama aretz, there is a way to be mechalel, to hollow out, to remove the kedusha from the peros, so that he doesn't end up with troubles. But from the money, I'm saying, not the peros. The peros will always remain be kedusha sam. Let me say it like this: let's not get confused with two categories. There's something called meiser sheni, and there's something called shvias. The peros of shvias will always remain with their kedusha. You can't remove the kedusha from the fruit themselves. What you can do is you can remove the kedusha from the money. So if you go ahead and the farmer sells the fruit remains, but kedusha shvias, you always have to treat it with its kedusha, just like the wine and the dates, anything you buy, you always have to treat it with its kedusha. But what about the money? So the money becomes kadosh because it was exchanged for the shvias, the pair of shvias. So the money has kedusha. That you can take away. That you can play games with. And that's what our Gemara is talking about. If you actually end up in that situation, you can transfer the kedusha back onto fruit other places.
I feel like though if the produce that ends up still being considered for Shemitah, then shouldn't the money have no value whatsoever in terms of purchasing it? It's as if you basically gave money to buy.
Yeah. So let's say it's a kenas because you're not supposed to sell it. So let's say that the value goes on to the money because you're not supposed to do business with it.
I would say there's no value. It just seems like someone randomly just gave someone money for no reason. Because at the end of the day, he didn't really get the produce because it's still...
Okay. I'm not going to go there right now. No, okay, I understand what you're saying. I hear your thought process, but I'm definitely not going to go there now. Let's just try to get the Gemara straightforward, and let's try to understand the basic gist of the Gemara. So, what's going on is ABC. So here we go. The peros that grow during Shemitah, we'll have to discuss the nuances about when they get their kedush, when they're considered peros shvias. Does it go, the basic two possibilities, does it go by the harvest? Or does it go by when they ripen? Because you could harvest them when does it become peros shvias? Okay, be that as it may, whenever, if we have fruit that is defined as peros shvias, it has a kedusha of peros shvias. You're not allowed to do whatever you want with it. You are allowed to eat it. You're allowed to use it to smear on your body if you want to make it into hand lotion or whatever. You got your, I don't know, aloe is not really a fruit, but whatever. So you're allowed to do those kinds of things, olive oil, let's say. It's okay. So you're allowed to do those types of things with it. You're not allowed to do business with it. You're not allowed to get rich off of these things. And there is a time of biur. And at that time of biur, you have to be mafkir all those peros and allow anybody to consume them. The tricky part of this, in terms of our sugya and commerce in general, is that whenever you buy peros shvias, the money gains the kedusha of peros shvias. So what do you do with that money now? The answer is no problem. You buy food, and you eat that food with the kedusha of shvias, meaning it transfers from the money to the food that you buy. And now, even though the food that you buy may not have any kedusha shvias, now it does, because you bought it with shvias money. So the kedusha always remains on the original produce, but it will transfer to money if you use money to buy it, and that money has kedusha shvias until you get it off of the money. How do you get off of the money? By transferring it to something else, by buying something, for example. Or in the case of our Gemara, even in his mind, he's able to say, I want to transfer the kedusha to the fruit I have at home. And that apparently also works, though he's not buying his own fruit. But he has fruit at home that's not shvias fruit. He can transfer the kedusha from the money onto the fruit. Good? Basically? Go over it a few times to Chazer and remember stuff that we're not so familiar with. What? Okay, so when the fruit grows, at some point, in certain situations, it will be considered shvias fruit. Shvias fruit has kedusha. It has two consequences we need to be aware of. Number one, you're only allowed to eat it, drink it, smear it on your body. You're not allowed to do business with it or use it for other purposes that are not the normal eating purposes. And when there's no more of those things in the field, you have to be mafkir it. Two things
are prohibited. Field sit and just.
In general, you're not allowed to work your field on Shemitah also. But we'll discuss just the food for now. And then the other issue is that if you buy Shemitah fruit with money, so then the Kedusha goes to the money. It doesn't come off of the fruit because the fruit was Shvi's fruit. It always remains with its Kedusha. But now, because you bought it, which maybe you're not supposed to do, now the money has Kedusha too. Now the money has to be related to as if it's Shvi's fruit. Well, you don't eat money, you don't shmear money, so what are you going to do with it? The answer is you have to transfer that Kedusha to fruit and now eat it. The kedusha shvius, meaning don't throw it in the garbage. You know, you gotta let it rot, and you gotta eat it and drink it. Whatever you're gonna do, treating the new produce as if that was actually grown.
So what do you do with the kedusha?
You buy new things with it, and you have to eat that stuff. The kedusha shvius.
So the money only has to be used towards things that are kedusha shvius.
Yeah. Now there's a concern that because of that, there's a status to this money. So there's a concern if people are not careful with that money. What's going to happen? The money's going to end up in the market, and the money really is shvius money. And then anything that's bought with it really has to be treated because it's shvius, and you're not even going to know. Yeah? So you see, this could be a little bit of a disaster. So for that reason, there is a brisa we see in the Gemara that you're not allowed to buy shvius fruit from a haaretz. Because what if you do? He's not going to treat the money properly, and that's going to be a problem for the economy. And Averius of Kalal Yisrael. Fair enough? Because of the Kedusha that now transfers to the money. But since people do need to eat and people need to make Parnasa, so we never, and you're allowed to buy Shvius fruit. It's not that you're not allowed to buy Shvius fruit, right? Yehuda, that's how we started this whole thing. You're allowed to buy an Esther. You're allowed to buy Shvius fruit. It's just that when you do, what happens? The money, you can eat it. You can eat Shvius fruit. That's what we just said, right? Shvius fruit has kedusha, but you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to drink it. You're allowed to shmir it, right?
Even if you buy it?
Yeah. And the fruit itself always remains with that kedusha. The catch is that the money used to buy it also gains kedusha shvius. So the money has to be used to buy more shvius stuff, or not more shvius stuff, has to be used to buy food that then becomes treated as shvius stuff. Yeah? So now, you go to the Amoritz, and you want to buy a Hoshana, a whole set. So the Lulav, Hadass, and Rav is apparently not a problem. What's a problem? The Esrik. We'll have to discuss that. But the Esrik is a problem, apparently. So what do? Well, you don't want the money given to him to turn into what? Shvius money. Demei Shvius. You don't want to turn to Shvius money. So what do? What did the Mishnah advise us? Present. It's just a present. There's no money. What if he refuses? What did the Gemara say? Mavliya. What's Mavliya? Absorb the cost. Swallow up the cost in the other stuff. So therefore, the money that you gave the Amar, it says, have Kedusha Shvius? No, because it was used only to buy the Lulav, Hadassim, and Arabis.
So according to Rashi, you said the whole, who refers to Hoshana as a whole thing,
Yeah, so you, that's what you tell them. I'm not buying the Esrig. I'm only buying the other three. But I'm going to give you, you know, this amount of money. Is that good enough?
So isn't that contradicting the Gemara?
What?
The Gemara, never mind.
Okay, so then the Gemara asks, so that's why the Gemara doesn't understand what's going on in the Mishnah. Because the Gemara knows you're allowed to buy Perush Shvius. Yes, it has consequences. The money becomes, turns into gains. Kedusha Shvius, that's true. But who cares? Why is that a problem? So that's why the Gemara has to ask, Velesiv lebehendia. Just pay for it. What's the problem? Our answer, Lefisha, ain't moishin to make Perush Shvius la'amaretz. Because you're not allowed to give an Amaretz money that has Kedushas Shvius, because we're afraid he's not going to treat it properly, he's going to save it, he's going to pocket it, he's not going to spend it on food during Shvius and eat it properly, and then it's going to end up given to someone else, and it's going to be a michshol for Klal Yisrael. The sign is, we learn in Braisa, Ein Moisim to make Perish Shvius Lam Aretz, you're not allowed to give the Perish Shvius money to an Am Aretz, more Yoser Mimazin Shalosh Sudos, more than enough for him to buy a Shabbos meal. The reason for three meals is because that's how much you would buy on Shabbos, and so that's the rule for the rest of the week as well, that you are only allowed to give him enough money that he can buy his meals for the day, including Shabbos, if necessary. But what if you did? V'imwasar, if you did, Yomar, you should say in your mind, or say it aloud maybe, Hare mos halalu, this money you mechulalin should be no longer hallowed, but hallowed, I'll pay restitution basically on fruit that I have in my house. And thereby you redeem that money. And you're done. Right? And then Amaretz ends up with regular money that has no kedusha.
So that's opposed to him.
What?
What? Is he saying the money isn't considered anything until I eat?
The case is where either you buy, you can't buy the answer from him. The case is where you have shvius money in your pocket. And so that's the only money you have, let's say, or whatever the case may be. And now you got to go buy something from the Am Haaretz. But you know you're not allowed to give them that money. So you're stuck. You got to buy, you know. I was at the air show this summer with my Kinderlach. It's part of Camp Bee Bears. And there was nothing there to eat. Nothing! Like, you know, you figure you get some chips, some pretzels, right? Nothing. It was just like fried pig. It was it. So, I don't know, I guess it's the kinds of people who go to air shows.
Yeah, air
there are a lot of Jews there, I can tell you.
Yeah.
F-35 Raptors, man. It was cool. Anyway, loud, let me tell you. Those things are loud. So, I was stuck, you know, I gotta buy something, but I had to buy soda. I'm stuck, gotta buy soda, you know? Where do I find myself? The only money I have in my pocket, I'm stuck. The only money I have in my pocket is Shvius money. And I gotta buy a soda, you know? I'm stuck. The only people there are Am Haaretz. Okay, Nunu, so what do you do? Before you give them the money, you have in mind that that Kedusha should now transfer to the fruit that's not Shvius fruit, because you can't add on Kedusha. It has to be non-Shvius fruit you have in your house. That now you're putting Kedusha Shvius onto, you're transferring Kedusha for the money to the fruit at home. Now the money's regular money. Now you can give it to the Am Haaretz.
But so then that fruit at home basically becomes your Shvius fruit.
Yeah. You have to treat that fruit as Perush Shvius. Correct.
So can you continuously transfer? I don't know, does that not work? Can you continuously transfer the thing over, the Kedusha?
I don't know if you can get it off the fruit once it's on fruit.
Okay, but once it's on the fruit, then you can mop it.
Eventually, it's going to have to be mopped
here.
Okay.
What is that air show? Sorry.
It was somewhere upstate New York. What was it called?
Oh, so it wasn't the city.
No, it was the other one. What's it called? Oh, not that far away. I don't remember. I can look it up. Ask me later. It was cool. I'll tell you. That stuff, it's like a work of art. Watching these stuff. It was F-35, you know? Cool stuff. Cool. It's amazing to watch. Anyway. Yeah. There were other things to it. But, and then the chaver comes home. The ochlam kedusha shvius, as Yosef pointed out, and he eats the fruit at home with the kedusha of shvius. Okay, good. Okay, so let's chazer. What did we say so far? We had a mishnah. The mishnah told us that if you're going to buy your arba minim from an am haaretz, so then you have to request of him that he give you esrog for free because you're not allowed to lokcho b'shvius, to buy it during shvius. So that in and of itself is not true. Like, it doesn't really make any sense. You're allowed to buy Peir Shviyat. So that's what the Gemara explains. What we're talking about is that you're buying it from Inam Aretz, and that's really the problem. That we don't want him to have the Peir Shviyat money, because the Kedusha transfers. That's the problem. Now, he's allowed to have enough for three meals, but not more than that. And the assumption is an Esrog costs more than three meals. Which is pretty accurate, you know? So, okay. So that's where we're holding. So what are you supposed to do if you're stuck? So, okay, you can redeem it onto food at home. So flipping the page on the Testament base, blah, 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 like Shvias, then you have to eat that fruit at home with the Kiddush of Shvias. When is all of this true? That you're allowed to give money, Peir Shviyat money, to an Am Aretz for three meals, right? That's the limitation. But you are allowed to give him three meals worth of money if what you're getting from him is fruit that was clearly min hamufkar, he had made hefker. What's the case? You have an Am Aretz farmer. And he's, you know, he's a good guy, though. He's not so knowledgeable and maybe doesn't care about certain things. He's got a bad attitude. Maybe he never learned Gemara growing up. So he doesn't appreciate the nuances of halacha. Well, good reason to learn Gemara. But you see that his field is hefker. The animam coming through, people are coming through. His field is lamaisa hefker. So he cares, you know. He's trying to do the right thing. He's just not so knowledgeable about the money thing. So him, you're allowed to give money three meals worth. But if you see that this Am Aretz is guarding his field. He's not letting people in. It is not Hefker, even though it's technically Hefker, because that's the Halacha D'Oraisa. But he is not keeping proper Halacha. He's keeping the stuff for himself. That's called Lekeach Min HaMeshumar. You're buying it from something that's guarded. The guy has fences and his security guards and his guard dogs and who else. He is not making his field Hefker. Afilo B'chatzi Isar Aser. Then even for half an Isar, you're not allowed to give him money of Peir Shviyas. Yeah. In other words, what's going on in the Gemara is saying there has to be a certain degree of trust, even for the three meals worth. If you see that this guy basically is like, you know, a decent guy, he's following halacha somewhat, so then you're allowed to give him the three meals worth of money. But if you see that this guy's mom is trying to get out of Shviyas altogether, like he is not keeping these halachas at all, so you're not allowed to give him even a tiniest amount of Shviyas money because you push it, don't trust him. He may pocket it, he may save it for later, and then it's going to end up a problem for somebody else.
Wait, what's he, again, if he's supposed to take the Shviyas money and basically
and buy food.
Transfer the Kedusha, oh, he needs to buy food?
We assume he's going to buy food. That's why we're only allowed to give him enough for meals.
No, but if you, right, and so let's say he doesn't do that, so we worry that he won't buy food with it. Instead, what will he do?
He'll pocket it, he'll save it for later, he'll stick it in his drawer with all of his money for next year.
And that's the issue.
And next year it's going to become a problem.
And that's the issue because that money is Kedusha.
Yeah.
Right.
Until the Kedusha is removed from it by buying food.
But we assume he can't remove the Kedusha from it also, like we do.
He could, but we assume he's not going to. He's not careful about Mo'os Shviyas. Right. That's not like in his purview of right. What he needs to worry about. Okay, good. So now we've got the Mishnah. We've got the Gemara, and we have the limitation on the principle. So you're allowed to give an Am Aretz three meals worth, but only an Am Aretz that has a certain degree of trust. How do you know if you can trust him? If he's keeping Halacha Shviyas on some level, e.g., that his field is not guarded, it's Hefker. You see that he's at least making his field Hefker. Meisiv Rav Sheishes. Rav Sheishes had an attack question. Umina Mufkar, Shleisha Su'udois, Vesuloi. And if you see that a guy is selling you stuff that it's Hefker from a Hefker field, you're only allowed to give him three meals worth of money, Vesu lo, and more not? Urminhi, what's Urminhi? What type of question? A contradiction. Rami, a contradiction. Urminhi is always a contradiction. Rami, Urminhi. Hafigava. Oh, should I even bother trying to pronounce these things? Most of these things, you know, you look up. Benji probably got good translations things over here. You know, one of them is like asparagus or something. We have all these different types of produce, yeah. Vegetation. So you have.
Well, give me the word.
Figum. What's figum?
Figum.
Yeah, whatever.
Rue.
What?
Rue and sorrel. Two herbs.
Okay. Yarbuzin.
Asparagus.
That's what the chance is, asparagus?
Yarbuzin, yeah.
He translates here as shaitim as asparagus.
Oh, maybe you're right. No.
Whatever. And then there's shaitim and chalag logos.
Coriander.
Kusbar.
Oh, no, kusbar is coriander because that's his kind.
Yes, correct. Right. That's how Rashi learns, right? In Chumash, Zra Gad Lavan, that the man was like. Okay, anyway. The type that kusbar that grows in the mountains. Karpas!
Parsley.
Karpas is parsley? Then we have to have parsley at the Seder? Oh, that's tricky. Okay, whatever. That grows, that Shibon Haris, that grows in the rivers? Parsley grows in rivers?
Parsley of the rivers.
It sounds like seaweed to me. Okay. Lettuce. The gargar shalafar. Gargila of Afar?
A garden Eureka.
In what?
I don't know what he's thinking. Garden Eureka.
He's been thinking, so.
All right.
Let's look it up. What is garden Eureka?
We're running out of time. Okay, so Peturim Mino Meiser. So all of those things are exempt from Meiser. Why are these things exempt from Meiser? Okay, we just changed areas of halacha, so don't get lost. Meiser and Shavuos don't have anything to do with each other. Shavuos is Shemitah, it just means the seventh year. Meiser means it's the things you have to give to the Levi, and Meiser Shein, you got to eat in Yerushalayim, and Meiser Ani, you got to give to the Ani, right? Those are our Meisers that you have to separate. So what's Chayav in Meiser and what's exempt from Meiser? So if you have a field and there are certain things that you produce and you sell, and you know, those are that's your produce, those things you have to separate from some Meisers from. Anything that you mamish don't care about, it just grows wild. Those things you don't have to separate Meisers from. Even if you end up eating them, then chayav in Meisers because people are mafkir them. They don't care about it. What?
Eruga is arugula. Like the plant, like
what's arugula?
You put into salads. Like a nutty
I gotta eat more salad. I'll have to ask my wife.
Yeah. You don't know what arugula is?
No. I've heard arugula.
No, I don't know.
You know why you don't know what arugula is? Because some religious people don't eat it. Because it's very...
Yeah,
what is it? That's its actual name, arugula?
Yeah, arugula.
Arugula?
Yeah, it's kind of like lettuce.
Arugula is
like spinach, but it's like very thin.
Like a weird branch type of...
Anyway, it's a plant.
Like a weird looking shape plant.
There's a question on if you can clean it.
It's just leaves, but it's hard to clean it. Okay, whatever.
That's why wasps don't come off.
Maybe that's why, I don't know. Does boat egg sell it, you know?
I hate boat egg broccoli, it's disgusting. I can't stand that you eat boat egg broccoli.
Why?
They ruin like the whole broccoli stalk, and you just get like the bottom part.
Yeah,
no, you don't get the goat,
yeah.
You get the florets.
You have to get
the florets, you're getting the cuts. Get the florets.
Oh, there's a difference?
By the way, are you kidding?
No, what
are you talking about? They sell in different packages.
You get the hard stalk. You don't get anything.
That's, you're not buying the florets, dude.
My Chinese store,
yeah.
You use boating broccoli?
Yeah.
You get like the stalks.
They're not buying the florets because they want to save money. They're not buying florets.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. There's also something else. What's it called? Eden or something? There's a bunch of things nowadays that are going to greenhouses. So there's no bug problems. Oyukis, ashkacha, those types of things.
Yeah.
Those are also good. And they sell fresh broccoli, by the way.
Why can't you just soak a regular piece of broccoli for long enough? And that's why it's dead and
gone. This is not true.
You can check it, though.
Yeah, you could. You gotta get the leaves to separate a little bit. It's really complicated. Broccoli is annoying to check. Okay. All of those things are peturim mina ma'aser. V'nichin mikol adam b'shvi'es. And you can buy them from anyone during Shavuos for the same reason. Nishmar. Because there's nothing similar to them. Those types of things are not guarded. Apparently nobody is putting them in salad, you know what I mean? Like who in the world would eat asparagus? Or like,
no,
yeah, arugula, you know?
They're not growing like asparagus.
They're not produced like your typical thing, like people sell dates. Yeah, they grow wild and nobody's, yeah, that type of thing. Which obviously you would have to compare that today, might not be true, but okay. So, what's the kasha? Well, anybody know what the question is? So, what's the question? Hmm? What's the question? Well, how did this start? We said that, what do you mean you're only allowed to buy three meals worth? But there's a list of a bunch of things you don't have to take Trumas Maisis from, and apparently you can buy them during Shvias. So what's the problem? What's the contradiction? What do you, I don't understand the question. What's the question?
You can't give it as for part of the 3 meals, right?
You can purchase as much of the stuff as you want because it's hefker, right?
Right, and yet they said that it's a limit.
What do you mean? Does this stuff have Kiddush Shavuos?
No. But,
no?
But it doesn't, but yet they still say that you want to buy 3 meals.
I'm confused. This stuff has Kiddush HaShviyas or does not have Kiddush HaShviyas? If it doesn't have Kiddush HaShviyas, then what's the issue at all? What's the problem?
That's the question.
It doesn't say it doesn't have Kiddush
HaShviyas. What?
It doesn't say that it doesn't.
It does or it does not have Kiddush HaShviyas?
It doesn't say it doesn't. Just because it's not Mishmar doesn't mean it doesn't have
it. It says you don't have to get Meister for it, so why would it have Kiddush HaShviyas?
Meister and Kiddush HaShviyas.
They're separate, right?
So just because you don't have to give Meister doesn't mean it doesn't have Kedusha Shvi. Then why don't they just say that they should just say then that it has Kedusha Shvi? Why don't they just say that? That's what I guess, Rabbi.
You roast me. Why not?
It sounds like it has Kedusha Shvi, correct? But it's always from Hefker. So if you're allowed to buy from Hefker, right, if the guy's growing these things that are Hefker, because usually his mafkir is field. But these things are by definition hefker, right? So what was the rule? The rule is if you see that a guy is mafkir his field, you're allowed to buy only 3 meals worth of that stuff from him. Here's something that by definition is hefker. And it says explicitly you're allowed to buy it from him. Did it give a limitation on how much you're allowed to buy from him?
No.
No. And the assumption is it has Kedusha Shvi'ez. It's food. There are crazy people that eat asparagus and arugula. There are crazy people that eat these things. So, it's food. Apparently, it's Kedusha Shvi'ez. Well, why is there no limitation on how much you can buy from him? That's the kasha.
I would say because it's not satisfying.
You don't like it.
No, it's not filling.
But it's a definitional problem. That's the filling. The thing is, why isn't there a limit on how much you're allowed to buy from him?
Because it's not filling. All of those things are filling.
They're for what?
They're
for what? Does it make a difference if you're full from it? The question is how much you're paying for it.
These are like herbs. Like, who eats sorrel? Like, who eats a ton of sorrel? It's like grass.
You do. Who eats a ton of escrobes?
No, you could have one or two. It's like having an orange.
No, it's not.
It's like having an orange.
You should eat escrobes because you use a lot of pesticides. Not to do a nice amount of sorrel.
So the Gemara answers, Humaisivla. He asked the question, Humafarekla. And he resolved, he answered it. Bekidei mun shanu. Mun doesn't mean mun. It means satiation or daily meals or, you know, something like that. Bekidei mun shanu. What does that mean? That he's only purchasing the amount of 3 meals. In other words, remember that I told you this word, ukimta? This is what you call an ukim. Here you have a contradiction between two prices. In one it says you're only allowed to sell, to purchase. You're only allowed to put shvius money in the hands of an amaharis for 3 meals. And then we have another price that sounds like you get to buy as much as you want. You know, it doesn't seem to make a difference. So he answered it by saying, you have to say that that's not true. Even though you're allowed to buy it from the amaharis, that particular price is not dealing with how much money you're allowed to spend. It's just dealing with the fact that it's considered hefker by definition. So I'm not sure why that's of significance. You know, you trust him because of that? But in any case, there is a limitation, and the limitation is what we are just assuming from other sources. That's called nukimta, that you only are allowed to buy so much from the amaretz that 3 meals worth and not more. The kedei mon shanu, as much for his livelihood is what we are learning. Enough for his livelihood is what we are learning. So said Rabba, son of Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I would like to know this, by the way. I was learning with my son the other day, and I said to myself, I don't really know the answer to this question, so I'll just ask him. But of course, he didn't know the answer either. Why is Rabba's father, what's the name? Rabba Bar what? Rabba Bar?
Bar.
How many bars are here? You guys have heard of Babar, right? the elephant, Babar, the Babar books. This is Barbar, right? He's Barbar. I gave a ride to a girl the other day back from Muncie to Washington Heights, and so what's your name? So she did, said her name is Bar. I thought it was her last name, but apparently that was her first name, and so she asked to explain it to all the Americans because they had never heard this name, Bar. So she told them it's like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's like Bar Yochai. That's what she tells people. It's like Bar Yochai. Now, of course, Bar Yochai was not his first name. His name was not Bar. But that's what she tells people. They can figure out what the name is. But anyways, this is Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Is anything wrong with that? No. What was Rabba's father's name? What was Rabba's father's name? This Rabba. Bar Chana. What does Bar Chana mean? The son of Chana. So what was his name? Chana's kid. His name was Chana's kid. Chana's a boy or a girl?
What's
a girl? It's a girl. Chana's a girl's name. So Rabba's father was referred to as the son of Chana.
Maybe she was a...
Rabba's father was known as Chana's kid. Okay, I don't know. There's for sure some Rashi or something somewhere that talks about this. Whoever finds it, why was Rabba's father's name Bar Chana? Why doesn't he have a name?
Why was Rabba's name Bar?
Rabba, this particular Rabba, his father's name was Bar Chana. That's how he was known. He was known as Bar Chana. What? I don't know, but there's an answer to this, and if you find it, you get extra credit. Take off an absence. No one's gotten any of them yet. So when someone finally does it, I'll have to figure it out. What? What? I don't know. We'll find out. I don't care where you get the answer from, but I don't want something made up. I want a source. Why was he called Bar Chana? In any case, I'm a Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yechonan, B'chidei Man Shanu. So he said the same thing, that it's only the limitations. Ukimta, we made Ukimta, we make a limitation, and the Brisa's principle, only allowed to buy enough for 3 meals from the Am Ha'aretz. It's my mashma, the Haiman, Lishna, the Mezoinehu. Where is it mashma? How do you translate mashma?
Mashma?
Usually it's an implication, right? Where is it implied that Haiman, that this word man, Lishna, is a language, the Mezoinehu, of food, of what's the right word?
Sustenance.
Or, you know, parnasa. How do you translate parnasa, you know? How do you know it means parnasa? Sustain them. Okay, very good. Okay, so the Gemara says,
e hachi. Are we don't refer to, like, the man, like, from...
No, it doesn't mean that. That's one of the reasons they call it man. They called it man because they didn't know what to call it, so they called it, this is the stuff that sustains us, you know? So they called it parnasa. This is parnasa. That's what they call it? Called it parnasa.
So do we consider parnasa as being money or anything that we have permanent? I mean, even
part of parnasa is just a term for, in general.
Livelihood?
Yeah.
Rob, I have an answer.
Yeah?
All right, so it's a two-part answer. So the first one is, it's not pronounced Chana, it's pronounced Chana. All right? The reason his father's name, it's his grandfather.
Okay, so this pshat is suggesting that it was his grandfather. It's not Chana, it's Chano. It's a man. It's his grandpa.
It was Xeris Hashem time in those times. Now, the more complicated answer is that.
What Xeris Hashem? What's that doing? What?
I have no idea, but let's. I'll read this one. The more complicated answer. Opinion that suggests that Rabba Bar Bar Chana is in fact the son of Rabba Bar Chana, who we find elsewhere in older manuscripts. Since many printers later confused him with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who in turn is the son of Chana, brother to Rafia. According to this, it suggests that Rabba Bar Bar Chana is called by his grandfather's name, since he had the same name as his father, which apparently the Talmud felt would be confusing.
I'm confused already. So wait, Rabba's father had the same name
as Rabba. So,
as who?
His Rabba Bar Bar Chana. His father's name was Rabba Bar Chana. So, in order not to confuse between
Rabba's father's name was Rabba.
Yes.
What was he, Sparty?
I guess so.
Junior.
So,
Junior, get over here.
So, I guess...
Instead of calling him Rabba Barabba.
So,
Rabba Barabba?
In order not to confuse I guess. That's what they said.
Okay,
okay.
All right, okay, let's finish this up. Ihachi. So if that's all correct, what you said, all these limitations and everything else we've been describing, lulav nami. The lulav also. Lulav also what? You shouldn't be allowed to buy it. Why? Well, until now we've been assuming that the lulav apparently is not something that is any has any shvius restrictions, right? But that's not true. We just described all these grasses and all these things and all this vegetation. We said that all that stuff is has kedusha shvius, correct? So lulav nami, there should be an iser to buy a lulav from an ama aretz because there's kedusha shvius, right? You ready for the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is you're right. Lulav bar shishis anichnas l'shvius hu. We're only talking about a lulav that's a sixth year lulav. And we're now holding in the seventh year. So in other words, when you go to buy the esrig, you can't buy the esrig because the esrig is per shvius. What about the lulav? Lulav is also? No, because this lulav already grew the previous year, apparently. And it's considered to be a sixth year lulav. Next year, we're going to have a problem. But this year, it's a sixth year lulav. So next year, we'll have to figure out what to do. But this year, at least, it's not a problem. Ihachi, wait, if we're talking about produce from a sixth year, because remember, it's Rosh Hashanah, right? Sukkis, Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah. So, okay, how? It's from last year, right? What's Rosh Hashanah for Shvi'ah? Rosh Hashanah? Tishrei? Esrig Nami, Bas Shishis, Hanichneses L'Shvi'ah Hi. So then the Esrig is the same thing, it's from last year. So what's the problem? Esrig bas lakita azlinan, because an esrig is different than a lulav. A lulav goes by when it grew, and an esrig goes by when it's harvested. Lakita, when you take it off the tree. So that's why there's a discrepancy between lulav and esrig in a typical year. What are you talking about? That's not true. When it comes to an esrig, we both have in the name of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Then when it comes to shvius, an esrig goes by chanata. You know what chanata is? When it ripens. When it ripens. So it ripened last year for sure. So it's only being picked during shvius. So both the lulav and the esrig should both be 6 year. This not as we learn in the Mishnah, esrig shavu ilan, v'shalei shidrachim liyarek v'derech echad, that according to the Tanakhama, an esrig is equal to a tree in three ways, and like a vegetable in one. Now, esrig trees don't look like vegetable trees. There are no vegetable trees. They grow on the ground. That's like leaves, you know? But apparently an esrig has a halacha of a vegetable in some way, in one way. Shavali ilan rishal shidrachim is like a tree in three ways. In what sense? La'orla, the third year. Right? You can't eat a fruit tree for first, the fruit of a fruit tree for the first 3 years. Ula revay, and on the fourth year, you got to deal with it almost like Meister Shani. Ula shvius, and shvius. So, it all, an esrog is like everything else, right? It should go by the ripening, not by the harvest. Ula yerg d'echon is like a vegetable in one way. How so? How it's like a vegetable? Shabishas l'kitasai yisuroi. Because the maestris, not shvius, maestris go by the harvest. Even Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, esrog shava le'ilan l'kol davar hu, and esrog is always like a tree. Damar ki aitana desanya riyosi av tulmu seyid mishum chamisha zekenem, esrog achar l'kita l'maiser. That esrog goes by the harvesting only for maestros. So in other words, you have both opinions, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, the two opinions in the Mishnah, are both saying that when it comes to maiser, that's separate, it's a different story. But when it comes to shvius, an esrog is like any other fruit, and therefore it goes by the ripening, not by the harvesting. Maiser, nothing to do with shvita. Rabbi Sainer, nimna ba'ushav amra bein la'maiser bein la'shvius. And they took a vote in Usha, and they said, bein la'maiser, bein l'shvius, they disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim, the majority opinion was that an esrig is like a tree in every regard, and there is no exception even for maestris. Shvius, mandachar shmeng. Wait, whoever mentioned shvius over here? It just says it is like a tree in one, and it's like a vegetable in like the tree in three, and the vegetable in one. What's going on? So Gemara just fills in the brayso to make it make sense. Chasur mechasur chetani. It's missing a line. This is what it means to say. Esrog achar lakita lemaiser v'achar chanata l'shvius. Esrog goes by harvesting for maisers, and it goes by ripening for shvius. Rabbi Seinu Nimi Ushav Anu Esrog Basu Lakita Bein the Maiser Bein the Shvius. And Rabbanan said that an Esrog is always like a tree, and that goes for maiser and shvius. So far, what do we have? We are going to stop here. But so far, what the Gemara did was it has a question. Because how can it be that the lulav is different than the esrog? Because lulav and esrogim should go the same. And when it comes to shvius, everyone seems to agree that both lulavim and esrogim, the kedusha shvius goes by the ripening, not by the harvest. And even though there was certain things that seemed to go by the harvest, that's nothing to do with us. Because everyone agrees by shvius and halach lamaisa, even when it comes to maisers, that esrog goes by ripening, not by harvest, and therefore there should be no difference between lulav and the esrog. Why is it that you can't buy an esrog from Amaretz, but a lulav you are allowed to buy from an Amaretz? To be continued.
Problem.